This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to another episode of You Don't Know Billy Jack, a podcast series where we discuss some of the greatest wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan. And my non-wrestling fan today, of course, I am Drew, but our non-wrestling fan is Jordan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So you got a donut there.
Yeah, it's a rainbow sprinkled glazed.
Not cake.
A cake's too dense for me. I can do two, if I can get two glazed, you know, over one cake.
Yeah.
So, you gotta have room for the chocolate and milk,
that is. Well, you get chocolate milk.
Yeah.
See, that's too much.
Yeah. But what you do is you do the one with the chocolate milk, and then you've got the second one for the next morning or for...
I thought you didn't like chocolate.
No, I like chocolate. I just don't. That's not my preference. You know, if they had like fruity candy milk, then I'd probably get that. I mean, is that what you want to do? Is expose me to this world?
Do you like the strawberry milk?
It's okay.
That's like, that's not good.
Yeah, that's. You know, I like the rumor that the cow's blood is in the...
Oh, that's not a rumor.
So that's why I like chocolate milk, so...
Haven't you ever seen the pamphlets at the punk shows?
Yeah.
I have some literature, Jordan, that would blow your mind.
I bet you do.
You eat that, you know.
Yeah, I do.
Sad.
It is.
Well, anything before we get started?
No, I think we're good.
Any updates on St. Vitus or King's X?
Not really to report. No, not yet.
Fair enough.
But I will keep you posted.
Please do. Well, the match we're going to be watching today, another very famous match, of course. It's Akira Hokuto versus Shinobu Kandori. The date is... April 2nd, 1993. The show is called Dream Slam, interpromotional show between All Japan Women and it's LLPW. I think it's Ladies Legends Pro Wrestling. Mm. I think it's called. So this is another Joshi match, of course, after our last episode, which was also a Joshi episode. Mm-hmm. And you tended to like that style, right?
Yeah.
So let's see what you think of this one. You know what? I just remembered something. So we do need to actually have a little bit of an on-air production meeting.
Oh, okay.
So I lost one of our episodes.
Mm.
So to the viewers, the listeners at home, we are not recording these weekly. We're kind of recording a backlog of them. So I lost one of the episodes.
Oh, no.
It was the War Games episode,
mm-hmm.
which I have trouble even remembering when we recorded it or how or anything. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a huge loss, at least in the grand scheme of things in the matches. It's not, I don't know. It's not a huge loss, but the caveat with the show that we're doing is that we can only get your first impressions once.
Exactly. So, yeah.
It was kind of bound to happen at some point with my ignorance and stupidity.
No.
Lack of focus.
Listless behavior. Irregular bowel movements.
Poor work ethic. Feelings of inadequacy.
Okay, anyway.
When it comes to my marriage.
Okay.
And being a parent.
Well, maybe Katie did it.
Katy Perry?
Yeah.
I doubt that.
She wouldn't harm the show, I don't think.
My low self-esteem. Difficulty I have looking in the mirror.
Okay, stop.
My small head.
Dude, stop.
You want me to keep going?
No, please. don't.
Low muscle tone.
Please don't.
Excessive body hair.
Please, can we get back to the show?
I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. It's just going to devolve into this horrible thing.
Well, anyways, so the question is, because we've...
You're sure you can't recover this thing?
Well, okay, so this is what happened. It was because we, again, peek behind the curtain for the listeners. We just record this using an iPod or an iPhone memo, which works way better than my stupid microphone ever did.
Yeah.
So it sounds great.
Great quality.
Yeah, so I recorded it using that. I deleted it from my phone before I transferred it to the computer.
Okay.
So is there a way to back, like to recover?
There's a couple of things we can look at when we're done here.
Okay.
But it may have synced it to your computer if you've ever plugged it in.
So I...
Or do you not ever plug it in?
No, I plug it in, but it's too old to sync. Yeah.
Okay. The only other thought is, I know on the Notes app, for instance, it like has a deleted folder.
Yeah, like a trash folder or something, right? Yeah, so
did you check on that?
I checked. I couldn't find it in there, but I mean, I don't know. There might be one in like the settings or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I can look into it a little bit more, but I don't know, but let's assume that it's lost.
Okay.
Do we want to? So for the sake of our match listings, do we want to keep it in there going forward, like our rankings, you know, or should we just delete it?
Well,
since it's kind of at this point, it's not really in canon since no one can hear the show.
Well, let's keep it in for today's match, and then we probably should delete it if we can't find the episode.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. Anyways, as always, we will be doing a live watch of the match, discussing anything that comes up along the way, and afterwards I'll ask you a series of questions that I invented all by myself.
Okay.
Of course. Okay, ready? Yeah. Now, if you are watching along at home, obviously, this is not on the WWE Network or anything. So, we are watching a file that opens with the both interviews. So, it's opening with a backstage interview with Akira Hokuto. So, we are going to start, if you want to watch along, of course, in 3, 2, 1, play. So, this is Akira Hokuto.
Dangerous Queen?
The Dangerous Queen. Just so you know. Little bit of background on her. She started when she was in the early 80s. She was like 17 when she started. She dropped out of high school to start wrestling. And she's had several injuries throughout her career. She had like she broke her neck early on. You know, the pile driver?
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those, but she actually broke her neck. So that's Shinobu Kandori there.
Okay.
So anyways, Akira Hokuto, she's like immensely talented, you know, and always has had injuries that have kind of hampered her along the way, but she's always been able to come back and be like even more popular, you know? So that's Shinobu Kandori, older veteran, with a real reputation for being like a legitimate fighter.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's just a little background. And so she represents LLPW. Akira Hokuto is from All Japan Women, AJW.
Okay.
And so like we saw with the last match, it was the last Joshi match, it's like a interpromotional
type of
feud. So we're seeing now both of them backstage. So here we are. This is the Yokohama Arena. So that's a big... It's a big building. It holds 17,000 or something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, The Dangerous Queen looks like a video game.
Yeah. So here we go. Shinobu Kandori. Big shoulder pads in the jacket, so mm-hmm. really presents herself as a as a powerful woman.
I saw. Whoa.
There you go. So she's dressed as a samurai. I'm a little disappointed because sometimes she would wear this, you know, she has that wig, this big white wig with like a gas mask type thing on, and it looks like really cool. It looks like, I don't know, something from Dune or something. Mm-hmm. Like real, real, like, sci-fi and cool. Yeah. So I wish you could have seen that. But. So anyways, you can already see the different, like, the different demeanor of each wrestler here. And so she would actually wrestle in WCW. Over the next couple of years. Never in anything like really significant or anything, but. And so there's no titles on the line here. This is just a singles match.
Okay.
Like I said, just an interpromotional match.
Is anyone else wrestling this night?
Yes.
Would
yeah,
this
so
be
it's...
the main event or?
You know, I'm actually not sure. You know, this was not even the main event. I don't believe. No, it wasn't. So this is a big card. It's called Dream Slam.
Dream Slam.
So describe what just happened.
Then. So the dangerous is it dangerous?
Queen.
Queen.
Yes.
She just like slam punched the other one in the head and knocked her out.
Uh-huh.
And then she went and grabbed a mic and started yelling at her.
Yeah.
And now they're like full tilt, brutalizing each other.
Yeah.
It looks like this tape's been, like, sped up. They're, like, really going.
Yeah, so we kind of know that this has kind of set the stage then
yeah.
for what's to come. And so she does a lot of submission work also. Shinobu Kandori.
Okay.
Akira Hokuto is more of a brawler. I mean, as you can see. So.
I love the theater. Of this
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's... So, Kandori, she put an arm bar on Akira Hokuto. And so we're now getting... you know, kind of a... She's rolled to
just
the outside.
Spraying on it and, like...
Yeah.
Massaging it.
Yeah. Which, you can... So, her injuries in the past... She's like when she got the. So there's a famous story when she got the pile driver and broke her neck.
Mm.
She wrestled the rest of the match holding her head in place. And then she. Another time she broke her leg and then like tried to finish the match. So I haven't seen the neck match. I've seen the head. The leg where she breaks her leg. So you can kind of. You know, they're kind of playing off of that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, she has an injury, now she's trying to, you know, fight through it as usual.
Right.
And so, I don't know, it's probably too early to tell, but are you seeing any similarities in this match and the other women's match we watched?
I'll have to think on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say yeah, but I want to maybe give it a little bit more time.
Yeah, yeah. So they're locking back up. Kandori obviously has the advantage.
Yeah, now she's all elbows over the dangerous one. Oh.
Back and forth now.
Yeah.
Hokuto, like, she's hitting a lot of real big, heavy strikes. Kandori again going for the submissions.
Yeah.
We should also let everyone know, not in my living room today. It's early in the morning and we're at the body dump.
Yeah, it's actually a little depressing.
Begging the question, what are we doing with ourselves?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you'll see, like, there's kind of like a sloppiness to the match, you know? Not like the real fast running and everything like we saw from Manami Toyota.
Exactly. But there's still a lot of energy.
Yes.
And the camera is a little all over the place too.
Yeah. Well, and if we remember last time, the last match, like they couldn't keep up with Toyota, for instance. So you see, even something like that with the body slam, how kind of haphazard it was.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be like a lot of finesse here.
Right.
Are these two both still alive?
They are, yeah. Akira Hokuto... Well, neither one of them are wrestling still. But Akira Hokuto married another real famous Japanese wrestler. And, you know, I think actually she... I think she's recovered, but I think she had breast cancer recently.
Brutal.
Yeah. But I like I said, I think she's recovered. And so again, it's a lot of submission work by Ken Dorey.
Mm-hmm.
But you made a really interesting point that it's generally you would associate that with like a slow pace.
Yeah.
But it's not.
They're making quick work of it. Yeah, for sure.
So I think people have a tendency when they see a hold of any kind, and we talked about this before, but to think that it means it's slowed down or it's slow, like it's time to not pay attention or they're taking a break.
Right, yeah, breather type thing.
Yeah. So they've spilled to the outside now.
And they're going on to like the announcer's desk or some kind of referee.
Yeah.
They're fighting on top of the table here.
Uh-oh.
That looks really sketchy. What the heck? I don't really know what just happened there.
So they did a reversal. Hokuto has been tombstone pile drivered. Through the look at that, into the table and left a big dent in the table.
Oh my gosh!
Look at that. Which, and of course, that's the move where she broke her neck.
There's a bit of a go for broke feel.
Yeah. So now she's being attended to on the outside. Kendori's back in the ring.
Yeah.
So now it's, you know, again, we have, like, these kind of two injuries that have been...
Yeah. And then she's quite bloodied.
Yeah. You see the crowd there. It's a lot of people there.
Yeah, it's pretty packed. And her, like, team is around her.
Yeah. Yeah, now what do you think about... Do you like having, the seconds and, like, the teammates... out around the ring?
I do.
Me too.
It adds a lot to it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when there's like a lot
crew
of
crew and like
ring crew, there's photographers, there's and you know, every now and then sometimes you'll get, it's like a real heated feud or something, you'll get kind of like the attendants will start fighting each other. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's like, I love that. I think that's really great. And then again, you've got, you know, 10 photographers in the midst of all that.
Yeah, and they're all kind of just standing around and trying not to be in the way.
Right, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Not even 10, look at that. There's all kinds of them.
Yeah, they're lining the entire ring.
And then, of course, like, if you have the streamers, then you've got the streamers going.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no streamers this time.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell you why.
They keep going back out of the ring.
Yeah. So you see, now Hakuto, she's really fired up.
It's really sketchy looking right now, because they can't even keep a clean shot of it.
Yeah, and they're in the crowd at this point.
they're in the stands.
Yeah.
So they're, walking back into this stadium.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even see... This is the official footage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't even see the rest.
No. So we've kind of found Kendori is getting beat up here. So Kudo seems to be in charge. She's real fired up now. And again, at this point we can't see anything. We kind of caught glimpses of Kandori's head going into a guardrail.
Hole, yeah.
Yeah. But look at that shot.
Yeah, that's
this wide shot. Yeah.
And the Dangerous Queen is really bloody.
Yeah.
Now they're both, Kandori's also pretty bloody.
Yeah, so this is like...
It looks like a disaster area. It looks like a FEMA camp. It's all like concrete and poles and stuff, and it's really like shaky.
Yeah. if you her head's her face.
Yeah.
Akira Hokuto's face completely red.
Yeah.
You know what they call that, Jordan? Crimson mask. Right. Wearing the crimson mask.
Yeah. She's wearing it. You know who would be good for this series would be Miles. I mean, you could only probably get half an episode out of them.
All right, Drew.
Okay, man.
Okay, man. I gotta go. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, he might be a little too stiff.
He would be so intolerant. Yeah. I could get Tony. Drew, thanks for asking me to do this. Now, I just wanted to let you know that I've really been trying to connect with Bill Stevenson after his injury. And, you know, I've been having a lot of personal problems, too. And, you know, I lost my house, and I lost my job, and I lost my wife. And, you know, my son won't talk to me now. And I was making fun of him because he was listening to Motley Crue. And I told him, man, at least listen to Iron Maiden. You know, I don't know. I'm not even mad that you're listening to punk. You know, I don't even like to use the term punk anymore because, you know, it's just like, I just don't think punks really do it like they should.
Stop. You just channeled him like... Straight up. No.
Spirit.
Yeah.
His spirit is in me.
Yeah.
All right. So we're back in the ring now.
Yeah. And they're both pretty bloody.
Let me ask you this. So obviously, Hokuto, she's much bloodier than Shinobu Kandori is. Obviously, the visual is much more striking the more blood there is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But do you feel like if someone, because of course they'll cut their forehead.
Sure.
Do you feel like if there's just a little bit of blood, just kind of a trickle running down the forehead? Whoa.
Yeah, so she just, Kantori just tossed the Dangerous Queen like over the ropes.
Yeah, just clear over.
Like, just a throw.
Yeah. And then all the way down to the floor, then dove down to the floor on top of her.
And it didn't even look like, I don't know, again, how much planning or cues or anything. It was just kind of like, it just happened.
Yeah. So, when there's not very much blood running down...
That's kind of sketchier.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it looks like less theatrical?
The Kantori wound looks a little, more disturbing.
Okay.
Because it's like, she's just going and there's this little thing there.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know. Yeah. When it becomes so much, you almost like, I don't know. It ceases to become blood in a way. Like it's,
really?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends. In this case, I feel like it's a little more disturbing with Kantori.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. Even like,
because like the Dangerous Queen's like, she's got the costume and the persona is really over the top,
right? And so the blood
kind of follows over the top,
yeah.
But Kantori's just like this brutish like wrestler,
yeah. Huh. Oh, that's real interesting.
That's at least how I'm feeling at this moment.
Even like with the blood, you see how the blood is getting sprayed all over the ground and everything there? Huh. Yeah, that's really interesting. So, you know, you cut yourself right about here on the forehead, you know? And somewhere there's like a vein or something.
Right.
And so when you hit that vein, it just goes. I want to say, I think it's on like the right side. Somewhere over here, because it seems like whenever there's a real bad cut, it's always like kind of starts there. But it's always like, you know, you always wait to see if someone's gonna hit one of those veins.
Yeah.
And there's of course some real famous ones where, like, you know, where guys go too deep, and it just
that's really disturbing.
There's a really famous one. Do you know who Eddie Guerrero is? Does that name sound familiar to you?
Mm-hmm.
So he was a wrestler. And there's a really famous one where he kind of like topples into a table or something and he cuts himself. And it's like a legendarily, it's like instantly, you know?
Just gushing.
Yeah, so he kind of goes and his face is hidden and he, you know, he does it and then he comes up.
It's just,
and it's crazy, and you hear the entire crowd gasping simultaneously.
That's so disturbing.
Oh, it's like, it's really, and it doesn't stop for the rest of the match, you know. And there's cases of guys like, you know, they'll have to go and get blood transfusions and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, that. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
that's really kind of disturbing. And the self-mutilation aspect is, even though I get it, and it's, they're not trying to hurt themselves, that's the opposite. They're trying to present that they're hurt and they're not.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So, what's been going on in the match here? It's slowed down a bit.
Yeah, they've kind of like evened off because Kantori got knocked over and was acting really disoriented, and the refs were like, "Do you want me to call it?" You
know, yeah, type
thing. And so they were both kind of like lying there on their sides,
mm-hmm.
And now they've been doing a lot of stuff on the floor.
Yeah, so it's kind of Kandori's focusing on submission holds and kind of like working on the arm that she, you know, that she injured.
Yeah,
and so they brought it down a little bit now. Impressions about the, let's see, so like compared to like Hennig versus Bockwinkel, the mat work there, any thoughts, like if you can even remember
this just seems a little like less tactful.
Okay, yeah,
it doesn't feel like not in a bad way or anything, it's just right. Like it seems like they're kind of just bleeding all over the place, like rolling around on each other a little bit more.
Yeah. So Hennig versus Bock, it was clear. These are two like professional athletes.
Yeah.
Exchanging holds.
That's kind of what that felt.
And trying
like.
To win a title match. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And this obviously is very, very different.
Yeah. And this is kind of like a. It's kind of like a more of a street fight kind of feel as far as. They're just kind of like exchanging.
Yeah.
But it's not like there's no grace like.
Right.
Yeah, now that her hair is pretty gnarly, that's kind of getting me a little bit.
Uh-huh.
On the blood and all that.
Yeah. So, I don't know, that's like, that's like a really interesting insight that I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
Because, like,
I mean, like, when you look at, like, a wound like that, you can visualize yourself ramming your head into, like, a sharp corner. And that's really, like, disturbing.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I can't relate to someone who's just, like, got a face full of blood.
Yeah.
And they're wearing the frillies and the outfit and all that. And, you know, it's a little more disconnected from, like, any kind of physical reality.
Yeah. So you don't think that the idea of, like,
don't get me wrong, it's quite disturbing.
Yeah, like, I know. But so, like, Hokuto, she's got like a leopard print sides on her shorts and the frills and all that. So, like, something real done up like that combined with just blood all over it. It just doesn't seem as real to you.
Yeah, I think it's all in that category of, like, kind of fantasy.
Yeah.
So, you're right, like, that points to, like, maybe a contrast, but it's a contrast within a different realm.
Huh.
You know, like a superhero or
something. Yeah. Well, so it's like, I don't know, it's like Dead Alive versus, you know, Silence of the Lambs or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, where Dead Alive is, like, gross and everything, but there's so much blood and there's so much going on that it...
Right.
There's no way it could be realistic, of course. Yeah. And, you know, Silence of the Lambs is fairly subdued in that regard.
But it's super, like, disturbing.
Yeah.
Or how, like, you know, like Fight Club, like, I think only the one guy dies in that movie, you know, but it's, like, disturbing, and there's an element there, as opposed to, like, other movies of the time of all these people getting gunned down, or the Matrix, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And so what we're seeing now is, so they were on the mat. If you notice, they started to ramp things up a little bit.
Yeah.
They traded drop kicks off the top rope.
Right.
Kendori's got a sleeper hold on. And she... You saw it when she spun... She had a sleeper hold on and she spun her around a bunch.
Yes.
So now they're on the ground here. And the crowd, we noticed, was kind of brought down.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought him back up now.
Now their tempo is yeah.
Yeah, so now they're really cheering for Hokuto here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that movie Fight Club.
What does it have for you?
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's a good movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. The ref's really slapping that girl's back. Wake up call. I think I wish that Brad Pitt wasn't in the Fight Club. I think that does a little bit of a disservice to the movie. Like, he's fine, but...
Yeah, he's a good actor, but there's kind of baggage there.
The character is supposed to represent all this, like, kind of anti-commercialism.
Of course.
You know, and it's like, it's him, you know, like, I don't know, whatever, but, like, they might have been better served with, like, a no-name guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole,
that's the whole thing, right?
That's the whole thing.
Do you like that director? Is that David Fincher?
Yeah.
He's pretty good, right?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, like, so real quick, we're escalating now a little more bigger moves.
Yeah, they're really dropping each other at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of in that stage where it's...
Who's gonna give at this point?
Yeah, they're really struggling now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, David Fincher, like, Seven is awesome.
Yeah, Seven's good.
You know he directed Alien 3. Did you know that?
I think so,
he took his name off of it or whatever. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he's real stylized, obviously.
For sure, yeah.
But, He's fine. He's good.
He's kind of like in that realm of, for me, of like, hold on.
Whoa!
Back out of the ring, and that was a gnarly, like, flip move. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so Kendori was on the ground. Akira Hokuto on the top rope, got on the top ropes and just did a front flip onto Kendori. But it usually when you do that, you're trying to like land like back first on them.
Yeah.
And she kind of just came right down with her feet.
Yeah, that was like a full kick.
Yeah. David Fincher.
Oh, just kind of in that realm, like with Christopher Nolan, of like, look, this is the best we could hope for like mainstream movies.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Know?
Like a mainstream director that understands the craft a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
can get there with some.
Don't be looking for something like crazy, but like, right. It'll entertain you and
yeah,
it'll maybe be a little deeper than the average.
Yeah.
And at that level, you know.
Yeah.
So now they're both outside of the ring, and they're both like, they both have their crews like
attending to them.
Yeah,
attending to them. And so Akira Hokuto, she got up on the top turnbuckle again and did a drop kick from the top turnbuckle down to the floor.
Yeah,
which is pretty wild.
Yeah. yeah, I like their entourages.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I really like that. And it's cool because they've got, like, the different, you know, they're from different promotions, so yeah. They have decidedly different, like, colors, jumpsuits on and colors and stuff. Yeah. And so I've got, like, I'm trying to think if we've seen, well, okay. If you remember back to the Flair versus Steamboat match.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that was almost an hour,
mm-hmm.
and really nonstop, essentially,
mm-hmm.
for an entire hour. And as they got closer to like the finish of the match, if you remember, it was really ramping up.
Yes.
And so it was like the finish, you can feel the finish coming because the pace and the intensity, they all rise.
Mm-hmm.
So something like this, where you're seeing the intensity rise, but the pace you can almost argue is slowing down,
mm-hmm.
because it's representing they're so worn out, they're so tired. It's like they'll hit a big move and then they're spent.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
is there a style?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean,
that you prefer at this point?
Probably overall, I'd prefer the Flair Steamboat style.
Uh-huh.
But, like, what they're doing here works really well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's not over, like, it's not wearing out its welcome.
Right.
I don't like when they're crawling around there for a long time, like,
crawling around on the ground?
Just kind of like we talked about, spinning the wheels or drawing out the idea that they're exhausted or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Like, there's still a lot of energy here for the tired warrior look,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
You could tell they're, you know, the battle's almost done, but like they're still going. I mean,
yeah.
And there's kind of like a lot of, with that, I think there's a lot of like false flags, because it's like, I thought this was gonna end like 5 minutes ago,
right?
Because of the crowd was starting to really go, and they were starting to really go,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a bad thing.
Right.
That's kind of interesting.
And so they brought the crowd back down again.
Yeah, brought the crowd back down again. And again, they're... Yeah, so now the crowd's really... So they're really behind the Dangerous Queen, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is All Japan Women's Wrestling. That's the promotion that's hosted. So this is like the hometown hero.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll see stuff coming up where, I don't know, where there's different finishing sequences and styles and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to track that as we go. So now we're seeing the big moves now.
Yeah.
And the real close kickouts.
Right. And the crowd is there.
For each one.
Yeah.
They're
doing the count.
Yeah. And so I could see that you actually liking the more, like, when they're just crawling around and kind of milking it.
Yeah, I guess more. It probably depends on, like, the acting.
Yeah.
For me.
Now they're trading big moves here. Trading back the near falls.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone seems to be a lot more on the edge of their seat.
Mm-hmm. You've still got all the photographers, and you see they're mixed in with the,
yeah.
I think that's kind of a cool
little
aspect there.
So they're both struggling to, like, rise.
Yeah. You can see her face. It's the sense of, like, the dried blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's really something to me.
Yeah, for sure.
And the camera work is good.
Yeah, the camera work too. Like, they've kind of got good. It.
Yeah. So now they're just trading, like, knockout punches.
Yeah, they're laying the one out, and then they're getting up and laying the other out.
Mm-hmm. Not able to make a cover, though.
Right. Is that when you try to pin them?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, a cover. Yeah, try to pin them.
They just both hit each other at the same time. So that was
that's it,
right?
And that's it.
So Dangerous Queen won.
Yeah, after the double knockout punch.
Yeah, that was. And the crowd's, like, stoked.
Yeah.
So that's the hometown hero, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now, did that feel anticlimactic to you?
It felt okay to me. It felt like
I'm gonna turn this down.
Yeah.
We'll keep it on while we're talking and finishing up here.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, everyone. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you about all the great content that we have for you over at the Place to Be Nation on two great podcast feeds, no less. On the Place to Be Nation pop feed, that includes the Hard Traveling Fanboys, the longest running weekly episodic comic podcast in all of Place to Be Nation with Greg Phillips and Nick Duke, DC4U, an in-depth look at the world of DC Comics with Russell Sellers and Todd Weber, Marvel Age, where Nick Duke, Tim Capel, Russell Sellers, and Todd Weber are going back through the history of Marvel Comics. We have Laugh in Theater, a live-watch comedy movie podcast hosted by Andy Atherton, the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast where siblings Kevin and Mary are reliving the classic sitcom The Office, episode by episode. The Great Debate, a podcast where host Andy Atherton leads a panel through a series of our arguments on topics far and wide. The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular brings you deep thoughts from the minds of Glenn Butler and his family and friends. This week in the NFL, Cowboy and D'Amato take you through recaps and previews of each week of the NFL season. The NBA Team Podcast, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich cover the world of hoops from coast to coast. The Year in Pop, a deep dive into pop culture year by year, hosted by Andy Atherton, Scott Criscolo, Dr. G, and D'Amato. Diamond Conversations, where host Chad B brings in guests from in and around the baseball world for an in-depth conversation. Sunday Groove, a podcast for music lovers far and wide, hosted by David Sunday. PTBN E-Ticket Attraction, a theme park-focused podcast led by Jason Sherman. Looking Forward, Looking Back, Pop Culture, hosted by Andy Atherton, and its sister show, Looking Forward, Looking Back, Sports, hosted by The Cowboy. Each looks ahead to upcoming seasons and events, as well as looks back at recently finished ones. Plus, special topical podcasts and pod blasts, like Pop Goes to the Movies, Pop Goes to the Classics, and Pop Goes to the Couch. Over at the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, there's all kinds of great shows, such as the Place to Be Nation podcast, The Mothership of PTBN, where co-hosts JT Rizzero and Scott Criscolo take you chronologically through the history of WWE. PTBN Main Event with hosts Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey, breaking down all of the current events in the world of wrestling. The Wrestling War Zone, a podcast retrospective reliving the iconic Monday Night Wars, brought to you by JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell. Row 1, Seat 1, an interesting look inside the world of small-town wrestling and beyond, with host Ben Zanny welcoming in a variety of guests each week. Talking WCW heads to Center Stage Theater, where Tim Capel, Greg Phillips, and Jennifer Smith pay tribute to the legendary promotion from the Dirty South. Extreme Three-Way Dance takes you back on a trek through the land of extreme with JT Rizzero, John D'Amato, and Jennifer Smith. Body Press Your Luck, a brand new wrestling game show hosted by JT Rizzero and Jordan Duncan. With This Ring, in which husband and wife Ryan and Cindy Everett discuss specific matches and their respective fandoms. You Don't Know Billy Jack, where Drew Wardlaw, me, and my friend Jordan watch and discuss some of the greatest pro wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan in search of a universal connection in pro wrestling storytelling. Plus, monthly WWE reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gyms, also featuring myself, No Holds Barred, Adam's Division, and Jeff Learns Wrestling. Now, don't forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles and topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including the SmackDown on Fox report, This Week in WWE, Polly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. But don't forget about veteran columns, like every Wednesday we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crosland have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Check out a brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. Jenny in the Gyms, Jennifer Smith, I should say. The Jenny Position can be found on Podbean, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher app. It's the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. And if you're going to do any online shopping over at Amazon.com, please be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. And it takes you right to the Amazon page, and it helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Also, be sure to check out our social media pages and message board over at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE PPV and TV Match Ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. Thank you very much. Now back to the show.
Like that or less?
Do whatever you want. I mean, nothing's important here, so we can just turn it all the way down. Yeah.
To be honest, what that felt like is that she was ready to be pinned a little earlier. Just because she kept going over and, like, presenting herself on the mat.
Uh-huh.
And then it wouldn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, that last time, that was the first match that we've watched where I was like, okay, I know that this next time, like, that's going to be it. Because of how, like...
Yeah.
How she laid herself out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about anticlimactic, but maybe it was just, like, it wasn't maybe as dramatic or, like, surprising as it could have been.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Let's get to some general thoughts here in our questionnaire. So, yeah, question number one, general thoughts on the match.
No, it's a pretty good match. I mean, I think it had everything that I would look for in a match where kind of a bit of a theater going on and a lot of energy and moments that were a little off script in the sense that, like, they felt a little more charged, like when they ran into the stands,
mm-hmm.
and that. And I don't know if I like it more or less. I don't know, but just the kind of brutishness of the moves and, like,
mm-hmm.
the lack of finesse was kind of interesting. I think it gave the match a little more character.
Yeah. So we're watching now. The sound is off, but we're watching. So Akira Hokuto gave a promo and collapsed in the ring.
What's give a promo?
A promo is when they talk
okay.
into the microphone.
Okay.
Or, you know, backstage they say something or okay. something like that. And she was somehow even bloodier.
Yeah.
And it's backstage footage now of Shinobu Kandori. She's pissed off.
Furious. Yeah.
all right. Let me ask you something. Two questions, actually. Okay, so obviously, like, we're dealing with male and female stereotypes here, but
sure,
a stereotype of women being, you know, having more finesse and you know, less gritty, of course, and all that. Like, did that add anything for you? The fact that they were two women being very haphazard and gruff and dangerous with each other. Like, did that come into play at all?
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe on, like, a subconscious level. I didn't think about that. But but that probably does. It definitely adds to, like, the character of the match.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something that you don't see, or I don't see. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, like, common it is, but yeah, kind of the rough edge aspect.
Yeah.
Of it.
Okay. And then comparing this to the previous Joshi match we watched, because I know that one, at one point you said it was going to be like your first or second, you know, mm-hmm. it was going to be really high up there,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of lost you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what do you think? I mean, just comparing, and we'll get into our rankings in a little bit. But, like, did that? Just comparing those two matches, like, tell me about that.
I mean, it's a little hard to compare because they feel stylistically a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
They both did have the energy.
Uh-huh.
This one felt less... This one was weird because at once it did feel like maybe more of a performance, but at the same time it felt... more not amateurish, but, like, again, more brutish and like, yeah, like you said, gritty.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's going to be hard for me. I'm going to have to like think about my rankings for a second, but, they're kind of like a little bit in a separate but equal realm right now. Like, difference. I had to catch your attention somehow.
I'm paying attention. Oh God.
No, not in that, not in Mr. Crow's world, but in just in the fact that they're
mean old Mr. Crow.
Yeah, exactly. No, but just in that they're like distinct from each other, but
yeah.
I don't think one's like. It's gonna be hard. I don't know how to place one above the other.
Okay.
But like the other one, I do feel like this one, the ending sequence was overall it was shorter, but it did start to feel like it was gonna lose me a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and that's what happened with the last one.
Right.
So they have that. They do share that in common.
Okay. So, next question, did you like the match? Why or why not?
Yeah, I did like the match. I thought it was what I would want in the match because I loved them up in the stands.
Yeah.
That was cool and it was crazy looking and they pushed that pretty far. And that would be a real treat to be there. To be anywhere close to that, because I mean they really went
yeah.
in there, like
yeah.
they like walked that thing,
yeah.
And I like that the camera couldn't really understand it, and you know everything about kind of their exchanges was really good, and I liked that it had that theater that I like apparently, you know, I mean with. I liked the Dangerous Queen. I mean, she was really, had that element of energy and theater that I think is cool in this setting.
Yeah.
And the blood, I mean, like I said, we've talked about it before, but I don't like the blood, but I do think it, like, it is something that kind of does bring another dimension to the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I guess that I'd probably prefer it in there, apparently, but it's disturbing, it's unsettling. But, like, having that in there, the costuming was pretty cool, and, yeah, when she's grabbing the mic and yelling, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, that's kind of cool, I like that.
Are all those kind of examples of that, because I know something we've talked about a lot is, like, that thing that takes you kind of it takes it out into another realm.
Yeah and I think that's important, you know. I think I'm finding that there's got to be a line somewhere,
yeah,
when it gets too cartoony or whatever, but I do think having that in there for me when it's not like what I would think of as pure wrestling mm-hmm. helps me, and it's like more of a point of entry into the whole like world there.
Mm-hmm. And was there something there where, because I know what we've talked about before in the sense that what, like Baby Doll on the outside of the cage,
mm-hmm.
what Baby Doll represents for you,
mm-hmm.
or I'm trying to think what another example in the stuff we've watched before. I mean, that may have been like the one.
There was a... What was there? There was a tool or a whip or something that got thrown into the ring.
Oh, well, the chair.
The chair,
in
yeah.
In that match. Or, like, the cell phone. The phone. Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that... well, I like... Yeah, and I think there was...
That's something that's very important to you, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'm finding... I mean, I think that... There was enough, like, supplementary, you know, the teams were important, I think, and, you know, she got pounded on that table, and they zoom in on the crack in the, crater in the table.
Yeah.
Where her head was. I mean, those kind of, like, supplementary elements that draw it more than just, like, two people in a ring.
Yeah.
Doing something.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like are important to me.
Okay. Okay. Now, what was the story the wrestlers were trying to convey?
I mean, the only sense I could get, like, without being told, is that Dangerous Queen was the, I don't know, the hero or the, like, the one that everyone was cheering for more.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kantori was, like, her presentation was more, like, serious and stoic, like, not maybe villainous, but, like, there was kind of an authority element there, like, mm-hmm. that seemed a little more otherly.
Yeah.
And then when they fought, it just seemed like they, like all these matches, they're fighting for something, like pride or whatever. But again, it felt more like a clashing of styles.
Yeah.
You know, and they were just kind of going on each other. And maybe that's what it was, because it's different, like, companies or whatever. But that was the sense I got.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Yeah, very good. Now, can you see why this is considered to be one of the greatest matches of all time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, within my narrow scope of things, it's like it had pretty much anything you'd want. There were a lot of haphazard moments that worked out, like the throwings over the ring or the jumping, like those flips off the ropes,
mm-hmm.
you know, the head into the table, the into the crowd. I mean, there was a lot of things that went into that match.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, it's more just exposing my ignorance than anything, but it's like, I don't see like two females doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, that speaks more to just my ignorance to that whole world, but it's, I mean, it was pretty well done. Like, they were going pretty heavy the whole time.
Yeah.
And there's the energy. That's what you want. You can't, like, fake that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if the moves were kind of haphazard or whatever. Right. Whatever my view of it was. But
yeah,
you can't deny the energy was there.
Yeah, and energy obviously means something different than someone doing something fast or...
Yeah, right or right, whatever. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so the reputation for this match is, like, you know, a lot of just general wrestling fans, they'll say, oh, this is the best, like, Joshi match of all time, singles match at least, you know. Big fans of the style, that, like, they'll say, like, you know, beyond that, it's the best match of all time, you know, like, the sense of her, Akira Hokuto, being who she is, and her career at that point, having struggled with these injuries, and then facing off against this interpromotional character, Shinobu Kandori, and, like, her fighting her way through these battles, you know, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's you know, again, it's got a sizable reputation on its own there. Now, our rankings.
Power rankings.
Our power rankings. For the matches. Now, do you want me to read them off?
Yeah, I'm gonna need that, yeah.
Alright, so here's your rankings as of last episode. Number one, Magnum Tully. Number two, Steamboat Flair. Number three, Bach versus Hennig. Number four, the Dream Rush Tag. Number five, the New Japan Gauntlet. Number six, Tenryu versus Jumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven was the War Games. Number eight, Sangre Chicana versus MS1. Number nine, Macho Man versus Steamboat.
Okay. This is going to have to go right above the Dream Rush.
Okay. So we're going to do... Everything else is essentially the same, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Magnum Tully, one. Flair Steamboat, two. Bach Hennig, number three.
Yeah. And then
this one would be number four.
Yeah.
Number five would be Dream Rush Tag. Number six would be Tenryu versus Jumbo. Number seven would be the War Games. Number eight would be Sangre Chicana. Number nine... Oh, no, I missed one. I missed the New Japan one. So that would be
That would be the new number six. Yeah, yeah.
Number six. Number seven, Tenryu Jumbo. Number eight is the War Games. Number nine is Sangre Chicana. Yeah. Number 10, Macho Man Steamboat. Now for me, yeah. So we really are ending up being pretty similar on a lot of stuff. And I'm like we talked about before, it's all like, at least in terms of, well, for both of us, it's just what we're feeling at the time.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like an all-time
list for me or whatever. I'd kind of like it if we did, like, I'd kind of like to stay within the rigidity of, like, what I've been saying.
What you say, yeah, yeah.
But I kind of like you, yours kind of mutating based on what you're thinking and feeling.
Yeah.
That would be a little more interesting to me.
Okay, yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's like, I while I'm sitting here, I don't want to think hard enough to, like, to place these in, like, a firm,
Or
whatever. So, I mean, they
but could... that also speaks for the quality of the matches.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if your instinct is going to the certain place every time, then that shows what the match is like.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, this, like... Yeah, yeah. So I'm actually going to put this one right now, number three. I really liked that a lot. I'm going to do Sangre Chicana 4. I'm going to do probably War Games. Right now, War Games 5. Bach Hennig 6. I've really been thinking about that match a lot lately, actually. Tenryu Jumbo 8, I guess New Japan 9, and Steamboat Macho Man 10. I feel a little bad with that Steamboat match because it's awesome. It's like a level or two, clear levels or two, like, below all these other ones, you know?
Seems like it.
But I think it was important that we talked about that just for, like, what it meant at the time.
Definitely, yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, it's kind of also, it serves as a control for the experiment.
Right. Because
I intuned it to be lower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and that as have you. So, I mean, our uppers and lowers are looking kind of similar.
Yeah. It's so just the middle stuff.
That's what's interesting about it.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, yeah, that's good. Okay, well, any plugs, Jordan? What's your son's blood type?
I don't even know. I couldn't answer that if I knew.
If you wanted to.
If I wanted to, yeah.
Well, where can we find you on social media, Jordan?
Nowhere.
What's your Shazam name?
Oh, I don't know. What about you? Tell us more about you.
Do you have a Tout account?
My messenger, you can IM me at Taliban Yard Sale.
Okay. That's AOL Instant Messenger?
Yeah, yeah, if you want to find me on there.
You're on there frequently. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at _burningspirits. I think I've been losing a lot of followers lately, Jordan.
You're shedding them?
Yeah.
Are you taking them off? Are you defriending people?
I should, huh?
Get them before they get you.
Yeah.
You gotta spin it, man. You gotta really get out there and
that's true.
Promote a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. All right, well... Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, of course, to the Place to Be Nation for hosting the podcast. And, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.